For a majority of Americans, the idea of a marriage rests upon their religious beliefs and faith. For others, it's treated as if it's one of those inalienable rights inferred by the Declaration of Independence. Recent actions in Alabama, as well as a ruling by the U.S. Supreme Court, with another one to come, by the way, have most legal watchers believing that it is the U.S. Supreme Court that will make a positive ruling, in their eyes at least, on gay marriage for the nation by the end of this June. Here to discuss the implications of this on states' rights and society is the founder and president of the Eagle Forum, best-selling author whose latest books include Who Killed the American Family and No Higher Power, Obama's War on Religious Freedom. She's also a columnist for townhall.com. We say good morning to Phyllis Schlafly. Good morning, Mrs. Schlafly.
Good morning. Very happy to join you.
Two websites, The Obvious, PhyllisSchlafly.com and EagleForum.org. Learn more about Phyllis's work and the work of others, as well as townhall.com. And just as a quick background, Alabama, when it comes to gay marriage, it's basically a county-by-county issue. There's really no state law covering it, but they had some justices, including Alabama Supreme Court Chief Justice Roy Moore, who's been really at the forefront of halting the intrusion of the wishes of others and federal decisions over state rights. As far as where does the state rights rest in? Is it the 10th Amendment that's solid? Is this the 14th Amendment that's being used against the 10th Amendment? Help the layperson understand what's happening here.
Well, of course, the gays have been very aggressive in trying to make gay marriage a civil rights issue and accusing anybody opposed to it of discrimination. And they're intimidating to a lot of people. But the fact is, the definition of marriage has been in our law for eons, and the majority of people have voted to retain the definition of marriage in these various state referenda. And it's the idea that all this should be overturned by the Supreme Court by a 5-4 majority, which is really just one judge, and many of the states that adopted gay marriage did it by, most of them who did it by judges. They did not do it by the vote of the people. So I think the whole idea is outrageous of what's going on. It makes us subject to what Abe Lincoln called that eminent tribunal, and that's not the kind of country that we think we're living in.
Well, is the Supreme Court, by any tenets of the Constitution, any precedent law, is it their position to make rulings on any social issue like this?
Well, we thought that the precedent was there, that there was a marriage exception to federal jurisdiction. And the Supreme Court has said it decades ago and abided by it. You know, the federal courts don't take classes about divorce and child custody and that sort of thing, but because of the so-called marriage exception to federal jurisdiction. And I urge the Congress to use the power that's in the Constitution, which enables them to make exceptions to Supreme Court jurisdiction and take this case away from them.
By legal definition, is marriage a right or a privilege? I think that's the part that has people confused.
I think it's a right, but that doesn't mean anybody can do it. I mean, that the state is entitled to set the restrictions. And we've had the definition of marriage the way we wanted for centuries. The idea that some judge should come along and overturn it all, and again, it's all done by these supremacist judges. It's not done by the people. There's no tide of opinion moving in favor of gay marriage whatsoever. It's simply the supremacist judges, and that's why I wrote my book a couple of years ago called The Supremacists. They're judges who think they can rewrite the law, not just interpret it.
Which is something we see quite frequently. They call them advocate judges, advocate courts, and that's what the New Jersey State Supreme Court has long been accused, and through their actions and performance are justifiably been accused of being, that they want to be the legislators as well as the judicial branch in so many ways.
They do, and they yes, and they've been getting by with it. We shouldn't let them do it. We should act like Abe Lincoln did in the famous Dred Scott case, which was maybe one of the worst cases that was ever in the courts. And he said, all right, we have to accept what they did to that man, to that one man, Dred Scott. But we don't have to accept it as a national rule, and we can expect it one day to be overruled because it's not the national rule. The court can't make a national rule like that.
Talking about Phyllis Schlafly, who is the founder and president of the Eagle Forum, best-selling author. Books include, her many books include, most lately, Who Killed the American Family.
Yes, well, it's important to know who's doing that, because it's not only the gays. They're only one group. We have the feminists. We have the people who really want to break up marriage and so forth. So you need my book, Who Killed the American Family.
And she also writes regularly for townhall.com, phyllisschlafly.com, eagleforum.org, and the web. And you're listening to Issues and Ideas. A lot of people are hanging their hats on what Justice Clarence Thomas wrote in this past week in the ruling that basically punted what was happening in Alabama back to them for the time being. And this is what Justice Thomas wrote. The court looks the other way as yet another federal district judge casts aside state laws without making any effort to preserve the status quo. Pending the court's resolution of a constitutional question left open in U.S. versus Windsor, this acquiescence may well be seen as a signal of the court's intended resolution of that question. Is Thomas basically saying, like it or not, that's going to be a blanket ruling that all states are going to be uniform and won't be the way that conservatives and people of faith and original intent of both faith and the Constitution want to see it happen?
Well, a lot of people are predicting that the Supreme Court is going to settle the issue and decide it once and for all. I don't think so. I think that's what the court thought was doing. A lot of people thought when they passed Roe v. Wade. But that was really just the opening of the national discussion. And the country has gone pro-life since then. And I think they would never do Roe v. Wade now. And we're not going to let the courts simply destroy the definition of marriage. That is not the job of the judges.
You write in a recent column, too, for Town Hall, we're told, this is Phyllis writing, we're told that more than 70% of Americans already live in the 36 states that have recently begun to issue same-sex marriage license. The truth is, only 12 of those states made that decision through the democratic process. In the other 24 states, that change was imposed by unelected judges, several states, including our neighbors, Pennsylvania, as well as out in California.
Isn't that shocking?
By only a single judge. And yet, at the same time in California, if a traditional definition of marriage by a ballot question is recognized, that's shot down by a judge.
That's right. And even California voted for traditional marriage on the ballot. And what you said is absolutely right. And the people have not chosen to validate gay marriage. This is all done by judges, and we should not submit to rule by judges. That's not the way our country is.
I want to wrap up here shortly because I referenced your book, No Higher Power, Obama's War on Religious Freedom. What was your reaction and your take on his lecture about Christianity, paralleling it with radical Islam, for all intents and purposes, at the National Prayer Breakfast a couple of weeks ago?
Well, I think he offended all Christians. And we certainly would like to see him defend Christianity in America instead of defending Islam. What he was trying to do was to minimize or even excuse what Islam is doing and to compare burning a man to death in a steel cage or beheading people and the awful things they have done in the last few weeks and months to what happened 1,000 years ago. That's long since forgotten, is not truthful or right or in any possible way. I thought that, and we know that this was deliberately planned. His Obama staff admitted this was not an inadvertent comment. He planned it. He planned it to tell people that that we're no better than Islam, and that's simply a ridiculous statement. And it's offensive to Christians, and I think he's getting a lot of backlash against it.
And it's ignorant of history, too, because the root and the cause of the Crusades initially was an uprising by the Christians against Muslim domination that was taking place all through about two-thirds of Eastern as well as Western Europe.
That's right. The first Crusade was to take back lands that the Muslims had stolen.
learn more about this issue. That certainly is a hot-button topic as far as gay marriage is concerned as we inch toward that expected end-of-June decision by the U.S. Supreme Court. And she also writes and gives insight through her vast experience. When you read her bio, vast is my understanding for the morning, by the way, but about topics that matter. And she imparts wisdom, information, and experiences that you can learn from as well. You can learn that more at phyllisschlafly.com.
EagleForum.org.
Exactly. We have those links at our website. Mr. Schlafly, always an education, speaking with you. Thanks for being here this morning.
Have a good day. God bless.